Well, hey, good morning, City Light Benson. It's good to see you guys. It's good to be with you. My name is Alex. I'm one of the pastors here. And if you are new or visiting, let me just catch you up really quick. We're in week 8 of our dual citizenship series, where we're just walking through this very famous passage of scripture called the Sermon on the Mount, okay? So in this passage of scripture, Jesus is preaching a sermon to these crowds, and he's basically showing us how his gospel applies to every area of our lives, right? He's saying, if you take what I've done for you and you live it out, this is what this will look like, right? And then he goes on in this sermon to talk about a bunch of different areas of our lives that we need to actually apply this gospel to. Like, he talks about how Christians should handle anger and how he wants them to pray and what he wants us to do with sort of our sex lives. But this week, we get to everyone's favorite topic to talk about in church, and that is money, right? Today we are talking about specifically the sin of greed and materialism. Now, you guys feel what just happened in the room? It's got about 10 degrees more awkward in here, okay? That's because, right, our culture is just kind of weird in general when it comes to money, right? If someone starts asking us questions, right, like, hey man, like, how much do you make, or what did you pay for your house? How much did your car cost? We just start to feel sort of weird, like that's intrusive and not okay to ask, right? And just in our culture, it's just kind of we don't talk about money stuff. But the thing is, Jesus didn't feel that way at all. Okay, Jesus would just walk up to people and say, "Hey, bro, you're greedy." Right? Materialism and this sort of need for more stuff has a grip on your life. You need to get rid of it. You need to sell everything you have and give it to the poor, because this stuff is going to kill you, right? Jesus, yeah, I mean, he didn't care, right? 15% of everything Jesus talked about, everything that was recorded in the Gospels, had to do with money. 15%. Could you imagine if 15% of the sermons around here were on money? We wouldn't have a church, right? Like, that would not happen. But that's how much Jesus talked about money. Why? Because it was a big deal in his mind. Because money was a really big deal in his mind. Jesus knew that the biggest competition for our worship, the thing that we would be most tempted to serve in this life, would not be the devil, but it would be our dollars. Right? For most of us, we're not going to end up at some, you know, weird occult ritual, right? Worshiping the devil, sacrificing a goat. Like, that's not going to be our realities, but we will allow money to influence, drive, and affect the most important areas of our lives. And you guys know what that's called? It's called worship. It's called being enslaved. And so today, I just want to preach a message called, Is Money Your Master? Okay, and from this text, I want to show us three things, okay? We're going to see, number one, we're going to see a bad investment. Then we're going to see a dark eye. And then finally, we're going to see a better master, okay? So a bad investment, a dark eye, and a better master. So point number one, we're going to jump into this, a bad investment. We're going to look at the text, Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 19. It says this: "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal." See, Jesus is saying, this is pretty simple, right? Don't store up all of your treasure here on earth. This is what he's saying. He's saying, if you spend all your time here on this planet, consumed with getting as much as you can for right here and right now, getting as much money as you can to have as much comfort as you can right here, right now, if you spend every moment of your life obsessing over your house and over your car and over your retirement, if you're thinking about making yourself as comfortable as you can right here, right now, Jesus is saying, that's a poor investment. You know why? Because all this stuff has an expiration date on it. All of it. Either someone's going to take it from you, or you're going to lose it, or it's just going to break down, right? Everything that we're striving to get right here, right now, will one day end up in the Goodwill with, like, some hipsters rummaging through it. Like, that is the future of your things, of your striving, right? Jesus says, hey, listen, either rust is going to get to it, moths are going to eat it away, or someone is just going to steal it from you. And in this text, Jesus is calling us to reorient our minds, to move them away from one type of acquiring to another. Jesus is implying here that there's really, there's a choice between two activities that we all get to engage in. Okay, the first one is engaging in activities that would lead to greater earthly rewards right now. And the other is activities that store up future rewards in heaven. And Jesus is saying, again, the stuff in heaven is a better investment. So, guys, about 2 weeks ago, I got to spend some time at a church planting intensive in San Francisco, and it was pretty awesome. I got to meet and kind of hang out with a guy named Francis Chan. If you guys know who that is, great. If you don't, he's kind of like the evangelical version of the Pope. Like, people just see him and kind of freak out, you know, and I was honestly no different. Like, I really wish I wasn't, but I was like, oh my gosh, this is kind of Francis Chan. He's awesome. And so by kind of happens chance, I got to work out with him, do this like CrossFit workout, you know? And I wanted him to think I was cool, you know? I wanted him to really think that I was cool. I didn't want him to think I was this, like, groupie who was kind of obsessed with who he was, whatever. So I figured, you know, I would do what any, like, middle school boy does and just, like, make fun of him, you know what I mean? And so I was telling him, dude, I'm about to smoke you in this workout. I'm gonna tell everyone in Omaha how I just beat Francis Chan, and he looks like he's in shape in those videos, but he's really not, and all this stuff. And City Light, I just want you to know that did not happen. That little Asian man is in shape. It's just, he does some things. I don't know. But again, the reason why I tell you that story is because, like, when I was hanging out with him, I was reminded of, like, the first illustration I ever saw him do. Okay. And so I'm ripping this straight from Francis Chan, but it stuck with me. And I wanted to share it with you guys. So he says, imagine this cord just goes on forever, right? Imagine it just goes on forever. It wraps around the earth a few times. You know, it doesn't. It stops over there by the loudspeaker. But imagine it did. Now imagine that this cord is a timeline of your existence. Okay, you exist forever. Okay? And you see this part, this little silver part? This would represent your time on earth. We got a few short years here. Okay, and then we got all of eternity somewhere else. All of eternity in another place. And what's crazy is that the Bible teaches that what I do with this little silver part determines how I'm going to live, how I'm going to exist for millions and billions and billions of years after this. Like, what I do with the person of Jesus Christ affects my eternity forever. Like, whether I accept or reject his message determines whether or not I'm going to actually spend eternity with God in his presence, or I'm going to be apart from him forever. And so, and for some of us who are actually Christians in this room, you know, you guys, you said, I've accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Well, I want you to know that what you do with this little silver part really matters, right? We don't get a second chance to live here. And in our text today, Jesus is saying there's two ways you can spend this part, okay? You can spend it trying to build up all your earthly treasures here. You can spend it hoarding wealth. You can spend it trying to just build up everything that you can right now to make yourself as comfortable as you can. To put as much money in your retirement as you can. You can spend all your money trying to make yourself as comfortable as you can right here, right now, or you can invest in eternity. You can invest in eternity and enjoy those treasures forever, right? Where no moth destroys it, where thieves can't break in and steal it. And what's crazy is that for some of us, you know, for some of us in the room, like, especially for some of us Christians, man, we only think about this little silver part. We don't spend a ton of time thinking about heaven and how we're going to exist for billions of years after this. And so for some of us, man, we're just obsessed with this part, with storing up as much treasure as we can, you know, so just so we can get to this part of our lives and really start enjoying them, right? We think, I'm going to work, I'm going to save, I'm going to do everything I can so I can really enjoy this part of life right here. You know, we're obsessed with, man, am I going to get to travel? Am I going to get to eat well when I get to the end of this? And Jesus is like, man, are you serious? What about all this? What about all this? Like, that's a terrible investment. You're going to spend your entire life just worrying about this part? What about the millions of years after this? And so he says, there's these two things that you can spend your life doing. You can spend your life investing in, building up treasures here on earth, where for sure moth and rust is going to get them, or thieves are going to break in and steal, and it's going to end up in the goodwill somewhere. Or, man, you can invest in heaven. You can invest your treasures in heaven. And, you know, for some of us, we might look at that illustration and we might go, oh, man, that's a big deal. Like, I want to do that. How do I actually do that? How do I put my treasure towards heaven? How do I invest in the treasures of heaven? Well, in this kind of passage of Scripture, it's not super clear, right? Like, Jesus kind of makes it a little bit ambiguous in Matthew chapter 6, but in the parallel passage in Luke chapter 12, he kind of just spells it out for us here. Let's look at it. It should be on the screens here, but this is Luke chapter 12, verse 33, if you want to see it for yourself. Jesus says this. He says, sell all your possessions and give to the needy. Provide yourself with money bags that do not grow old and with treasures in heaven that does not fail, where no thief approaches and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. So Jesus in this passage, he says, listen, when you sell your possessions and give to the needy, like you're getting treasure in heaven, right? When you actually sell something that you wanted, right? When you're sacrificing something that you wanted very badly for the needs of somebody else, Jesus says, hey man, you're going to get rewarded for that in heaven. I saw that. That counted. That mattered. And then he also goes on to say, like in Matthew chapter 6, the passages that we've been studying, he talks about reward in those passages a lot, right? In Matthew chapter 6, verse 4, he says, when you give to the needy, right, your Father in heaven will reward you. That's Matthew chapter 6, verse 4. Matthew 6, verse 6 says, when you pray, your Father will reward you. Matthew 6, verse 17, when you fast, your Father who sees in secret will reward you. Jesus is saying by living with the priorities of the kingdom of heaven in mind, you are storing up treasure in heaven. By living with the priorities of the kingdom of heaven in mind, you are storing up treasure, right? When you give to the poor, when you pray, when you fast, when you sacrificially serve and give to others, God's saying, I see that. I see that. And that counts. That's going to matter for all of eternity. So right now, for us, it's like, you know, I have an extra $1,000, right? What do I do with that? You know, maybe... maybe it's a better investment just to give it all away, like just to give it to the poor, because there's a lot of stuff that I could buy with that $1,000 right now that I really want, stuff that's going to do some good things for me right now. But haven't we all bought stuff that's just like, just a waste of time, right? We look at it and we go, man, that was a waste of money. What did I even do with that? You've got that one outfit way in the back of your closet you never, ever wear again, but you spent a lot of money on it, right? It's just like, what's a wise investment for me to do with the treasure that I have here? And see, Jesus says, man, if you'll store up treasure in heaven, nothing's going to happen to it, right? If your heart is going that way, if your treasure is going that way, he's saying, I'm going to take care of it. But now, we're going to look at the kind of last verse in this section, verse 21, because, guys, we can't miss this, because this is the most important part of this little section, okay? This is Jesus' main point. This is why he cares about money so much. This is why it's such a big deal to Jesus. Let's look at verse 21. He says this, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. See, this is why Jesus talks about money 15% of the time. This is why he's always talking about this stuff, because he knows that our hearts follow our treasure, that our hearts go after the things that we are invested in, right? When we invest our money, when we invest our time, when we invest our talents in something, our hearts go that way. If we invest our dollars here in this life, in this earth, that's where our hearts are drawn towards. But if we invest our hardworking cash into the kingdom of heaven, that's what we're thinking about. That's what we're invested in. And so the thing is, Jesus doesn't say all this stuff. He doesn't tell people to give away their money because God's broke, right? Like, God has way more money than you are. He doesn't need your money, right? If he wanted it, he would just take it, okay? That's not the issue here. The issue here is our hearts, right? And Jesus says, where your treasure goes, there your heart will go too. And so, see, like, I just want to ask you this. You know, where's your heart at? You know, what are the things that you are giving your treasure toward? Because the reverse of this statement is true too. Like, where my money goes kind of shows me where my heart is at, the things that I care about most in my life. So, City Light, where does the majority of your paycheck go? Is it investing it in the kingdom of heaven? Are you storing up treasures in heaven with your wealth? Or are you using that just to make yourself more comfortable right here, right now? Are you using the resources that God has provided you with to make a more comfortable life for yourself right here and right now? Because if you are, Jesus is saying, not only is that a bad investment, that's taking your heart away from the kingdom of heaven. So as point number one, we just see a bad investment, right? And Jesus says, man, stay away from that. But now point number two, we're going to look at a dark eye, okay? Point number two, we're going to see a dark eye. Let's look at verse 22. It says this, the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Now, this seems like kind of a weird passage, right? Like, just seems like a kind of weird placement, you know, in the Bible. Like, the verses before this are about, you know, money. The verses after it are about, very clearly about money. But then he has this one section, right? Verse 23, he says, but the eye, though. The eye, and you're like, kind of like, what? What's Jesus, what is he talking about? And he makes what would have been a very, like, common sense statement at the time. He says, hey, if your eye's good, if your eye is healthy, he says it'll be the lamp of your body. It'll light up everything. So he's saying your eye is the thing that catches light, that brings it inside and lights up your whole body with. And then he says this. He says, but if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness, right? He's saying, again, if your eye doesn't work right, if it's like if your eyes are closed, your body is full of darkness. It's just two kind of common sense statements. But then he says, but if the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? Right? He says, if the light that is in you, the thing that you are taking in from the outside, if the light that is in you is darkness, that's supposed to actually light up your body, is causing darkness, he says, oh boy, you're in trouble. Like that's not going to be a good deal for you. Jesus is saying, man, what we focus on, what our eyes focus on, is really important. And if our eyes are fixated on money, it's going to bring a spiritual darkness into our lives. And even though our eyes are working, even though our eyes are bringing in light, we won't be able to see a thing. See, Jesus is talking about greed. He's talking about this desire for more, which is all greed is. It's a desire to have more. It's just this thing inside us that says, I'm not ever satisfied. I just need a little bit more. Now, by a show of hands, how many of us in the room would say that we're greedy? Just by a show of hands. Well, it's a lot more people than I thought. Okay, great. A third of us in the room would say we're greedy. I guess that's good. I don't know. You guys just ruined an illustration, by the way. So thanks for that. That's super helpful. You guys are just like the first service, just ruining stuff for me. I appreciate it. But you know what? Okay, well, this is the other crazy part about greed. So check this out. Man, in our culture, we don't view greed as that big of a deal, right? Like, so I preached on lust just a few weeks ago. Right? If I would have got up here and said, hey, man, how many of us are really, really struggling with, you know, with pornography? Or we're thinking about cheating on our spouses. No one's hands going up there, right? Like, that's just not happening. None of us are admitting that one. But because of, like, the culture that we live in, right? Because of America, man, it's like, dude, greed isn't that big of a deal, right? It's like, I just want a little bit more, you know? And we view people in our culture that are greedy as sort of like role models, you know? Or we see them as like good stewards, or we see them as smart or talented, you know? And we're like, we want to aspire to be like them. But guys, one thing that we have to know, you know, is that, greed is not like some JV issue, right? This is one of the Ten Commandments. This isn't something that Jesus looks at us and he just kind of winks and goes, that's okay, you know? This is a big deal. This is a sin that needs to be confronted in our lives, right? And I mean, I gave the illustration about lust earlier, but it's like, you know, we'll have that happen in our lives and we'll go, okay, I need to take some steps to get this out of my life, right? I need to get a filter on my internet. I need to get an accountability partner. I need people to ask me questions about what's going on in my heart, how I spent my time, what I watched. But what if we struggle with greed, right? When's the last time you had anyone ask you about your giving? When's the last time you had anybody ask you about what you're saving, what you're giving away, if you were being greedy, if you were hoarding stuff for you? We don't want to do that. Like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to be accountable to someone else for how I spend my money. Like, no, there's no way. But this is an issue for us, right? This in this culture that we live in, like in America, you know, it's the air we breathe, getting more, getting the update, right? Having the bigger house, the nicer car. You know, I was thinking about some questions just to ask, to say, you know, is this kind of an issue in our lives and in our hearts? And, you know, I just came up with three questions for us to think about. And I want to say them. And if any of these are true for you, When we're done, I would just like you to put your hand up at the end, okay? So if any of these are true, this is a no judgment zone. Again, we're not going to look at you and throw rocks at you and kick you out of our church. But like, if these are true for you, would you raise your hand after we're done talking about these? So over the last year, if this is true for you, again, raise your hand at the end. Over the last year, you paid to upgrade your phone, even though your old phone was working just fine. Right? Over the last year, you paid to upgrade your phone, even though your old phone was working just fine, right? Number two, you live in a perfectly good home, and yet you find yourself scrolling through Zillow, right? You're just on Zillow like it's Facebook. You're looking for a bigger and better place to live. You want an upgrade, and you have a perfectly good home, but you just find yourself wanting more. Or the last one, how many of you would say, you know, you're perfectly content with the job you have, the money you make, the boss that you have, you love those things, but you would leave that job that you like so much if you got, say, a $10,000 raise. Now, if any of those apply to you, would you raise your hand? Yeah, I mean, guys, this is kind of the air we breathe here in America. And guys, the rest of the world would look at us and go, that's crazy, right? You spent $900 on a new iPhone when your old one was working? That's nuts. Like you went out and bought another house even though there wasn't anything wrong with your old one? Are you serious? You know, and the entire world would look at us and go, what's going on over there? See, do you guys know that the majority of the world lives off less than $2 a day? 56% of the world lives off less than $2 a day. If we make $34,000 a year, we're in the top 1% of the entire world. And see, again, the problem for us is here in America, we've kind of turned greed from a vice into a virtue. And we go, oh man, those people over there who are making a lot of money, that's where it's at. And you know, so for even a lot of us, you know, we think, I'm not even really that greedy, right? My friend Joe, who lives down there in Papillion, right? He is greedy. I'm taking notes so I can drop this off at his house later today, right? It's just true. I mean, we're just thinking about somebody else. They need to hear this talk. But guys, this is our lives, and this is what Jesus is saying. This is why he uses the eye metaphor, right? Because greed tends to darken our eyes, right? So we can't see straight. And so, again, I just want to ask you this question, man. What are you focusing on? What are you staring at? What has your time? What has your attention? Are you focused completely on, the things of God? You're pushing your life towards treasures in heaven? Or you're focused on, man, how can I make this life more comfortable right here, right now? And please, I just want to ask, if you didn't even put your hands up for any of those things, would you not assume that this is not an issue for you? Because we can't trust our own eyesight on this one. Because Jesus says, man, this is a struggle. And it gets dark and we get deceived. And so guys, we've seen, number one, we've seen a bad investment. Secondly, we've seen a dark eye. But now we're going to transition to point number three. This is, actually, here comes the good news. We're going to see a better master, okay? We're going to see a better master. Let's look at verse 24. It says this. No one can serve two masters, for he will either hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and money. So again, pretty simple statement, right? You don't need to be a rocket scientist to figure this out. Jesus is saying, hey, imagine you got two full-time jobs, right? You have two bosses. You can't serve them both because they both require a ton of devotion. They both want 40, 50 hours a week, and you can't do it. So what's going to end up happening is you're going to serve one at the expense of the other. Okay? You can't serve them both. At some point, this boss is going to conflict with this boss, and you're going to have to choose. And so Jesus says, hey, you cannot serve God and money. These are two bosses that want too much from you. You will either use money to serve God or you will use God to serve money, but you will not do both. And for all of us in this room, there will come a time that what God would have us do with our money and what our wallets would want us to do with our money are going to be two different things, and we're going to have to choose. Right? We're going to have to choose, are we going to serve God or are we going to serve money? And for some of us in this room, man, we might be asking the question, well, how do we know? How do we know what we are serving, right? How do we know if I've made money my master? And I was kind of thinking about this. I came up with four sort of quick self-diagnostic questions, okay? So we're gonna put them on the screen and kind of walk through them a little bit. But these are just questions that you can kind of ask yourself and wrestle with. Man, have I done this? Have I made money the master of my life? And so would you take this to Jesus during this time? So the first one is, sort of the first self-diagnostic question is money the primary filter for your decision-making? Is money the primary filter for your decision-making? Now, obviously, money has to be a part of decision-making, right? Like, it has to be a part of, you know, the way we decide what we do and where we eat or whatever. But is it the thing, is it the primary lens through which you see everything through? Does the buck stop with, hey, how much does that cost? Or what does that job pay, right? You aren't concerned with the kingdom or financial impact that it could have. You aren't concerned with the kingdom of God, but your primary concern is what it will cost financially, right? Is money the primary filter you use for your decision-making? Question number two, do you find it hard to give generously? Do you find it hard to give generously? Is it like pulling teeth if a, you know, if a high school student comes up to you and asks to support them for their mission trip? Is it really difficult to support a missionary or an intern, right? Do you find yourself coming up with all kinds of excuses as to why you have to buy the cheapest wedding present on the registry, right? Not everybody wants spatulas, okay? Engaged couples, I just did you a favor. Hook that up. But is it hard for you? Is it hard for you to be actually just a generous person and say, hey, I'm gonna take the KitchenAid, I don't know. Or are you always finding excuses as to why you need to not be generous, right? Number three, is money the primary source of stress in your life? Is money the primary source of stress? And again, guys, I get it. We all have to pay bills, right? All of us, at some extent, money is going to stress us out. But like later on in this passage, Jesus just says, listen, guys, do you not see the birds of the air? Do you not see the flowers of the field? How God provides for them? Don't you know that you're more important than they are? And he just says, stop stressing about money. You have a Father in heaven who's going to provide what you need. Might not necessarily be what you want. It's going to be what you need, though. And he says if he'll provide for the birds and he'll provide for the flowers, then like he's going to provide for you too. So stop stressing about all this. And so, I just want to ask, is money the primary source of stress in your life? Because we actually don't like have to have it be the primary source of stress. Because then he goes on to say, hey, the pagans run after these things. The people who don't know God are stressed out about money, but you have a Father in heaven. Would you live differently? And so last one, this might sting a little bit for some of us, is just do you have consumer debt? Do you have consumer debt? Not talking about debt from like a school or from a mortgage or whatever, but just credit cards, right? You cannot stop spending. And so you have got that piece of plastic and you're just running it up, man. Right? If you've answered sort of maybe yes or hey, that's true about me for some of those four, I would ask you to bring that to the Lord and say, hey, has money gotten this grip over my life? Is it my master? And, I want you guys to know, you know, this week has honestly been just heavy for me. Like, this passage of scripture has laid heavy on my heart. I'm not just some guy up here that's, you know, got it all together and is preaching a message and working a job, right? Jesus confronted me with actually the greed that's in my own heart this week, man. So I've only preached on money twice. This is my second time. And the first time I did it was about 2 years ago. And I don't know if you know this, but preachers sometimes go through and look at their old talks, recycle stuff, and sometimes it makes it easier for us. I don't know. But this week, man, didn't make it any easier. It made it a lot harder, you know, because I remember I was reading through it. It was like on Wednesday, and I had a line in that talk 2 years ago that said, every year that I live, you know, I want to be a more generous person. I stood up on the stage and I said, man, every year that I live, I want money to have less of a control over my heart than it does right now. Every year I live, I want to give more. I want my heart to be more pulled towards the things of heaven. And City Light, I want you to know that I have absolutely failed at that. Man, over the last 2 years, if you were to look at my bank statements, I have not increased in my percentage of giving. Like, I've got the same stuff that's coming in is more is coming in than is going out. You know, I actually received a raise this year. And I still, like, my generosity has stayed at the same exact level. And for me, it's like, man, I didn't think I was becoming a greedy person. You know, I wanted, I didn't make this decision. Like, I'm going to become more tight-fisted with my money. I'm going to become greedy. You know, it's just something that kind of happened that, like, creeped into my life. You know, despite being blessed by God, I've been given more than I've ever had in my entire life. I've seen myself become a less generous person. And I don't know about you, but I can always justify why I'm not giving more. I can always justify why I need more money. I can always justify why I need the clothes and why I need the house and the car, right? Why I need that new, you know, whatever. But it's so easy for that stuff to happen and for it to just creep into your life, and money slowly gets more and more control over your heart, and you get pulled more and more towards the things of the earth, and greed just creeps in, and your eyes get dark, and you just become focused and fixated on right here and right now. And I want you to know, man, that's been true of my life, and it's been a hard week for me, honestly. But see, like, I've got to rest in the good news of the gospel. Because the good news for us today, who are struggling with greed, is that you can always turn back to the better master in Jesus Christ. You can always turn back to the good shepherd, to the perfect king, and the better master, right? He's the one person you actually do want to work for. See, if we devote our lives to serving money, if that's what we do, if we said, money, you are my master, it will demand that you sacrifice for it. Money will say, you know, I want your time, I want, you know, your health, I want you to work harder, I want you to sacrifice the most important relationships you have. It might require your family, it might require your integrity. If you make money your master, it's going to require that you sacrifice for it. Jesus is the only master that says, hey, I'll sacrifice for you. I'll give everything for you. I'll be generous with you. I'll give you everything I have. I'll pour out my life on the cross for you. All the times that you've served money, all the times you've been greedy, all the times you've let materialism grow and fester in your heart and darken your eyes, Jesus says, I'll pay for that on the cross. I already have. And what's so incredible about the gospel in this passage and how it's just this reversal of fortunes, man, is Jesus calls us to store up treasures in heaven. He says, put your money here. It'll be safe here. Nothing bad will happen to it here. It's protected here. While at the same time, Jesus said, I'm not going to hoard my wealth here in heaven. God said, I'm not going to hold my treasure here in heaven. I'm going to pour it out on the earth. I'm going to give you the most valuable, the most important thing I have. I'm going to give you my son. I'm going to have his blood poured out for you to pay for your sins, to pay for all the times that you were greedy, all the times that you were selfish, all the times that you were obsessed with serving money. And he says, listen, I'm not going to hoard my treasures in heaven. There's a passage of scripture that says, he, though was rich, for our sake became poor, right? So that we might actually become rich, so that we might get to inherit the kingdom of heaven, that we might be welcomed in as sons and daughters of the Most High King. And guys, when we see that, when we see how generous our God has been for us, when we see how he poured himself out, when we see how our master has given us everything, it empowers us to be people who will do the same. It empowers us to be generous people as well. And so, what do we do with this? Guys, what do we do with this? What do we find? What do we do if we find that money has actually become our master? What's a practical step in repentance look like? Well, let me just give you one, okay? And you can decide whether or not this will be good for you, okay? Just giving and tithing. That could be one practical step in repentance. See, tithing is this Old Testament practice that says, before I do anything with my money, I'm going to set aside a portion of it and give it to God. Before I do anything with my money, before I buy some of the stuff that I want to buy, I'm going to set aside this portion and say, Lord, this is yours. And so for most people in most places of the world, 10% has been the goal. Like for most people in most places in the world, 10% of their income, they just say, okay, I'm going to get this out the door. I'm going to give this to the Lord first. So why is it 10%? Why do most people do that? Because 10% of our income, if it goes out the door, it's going to hurt a little bit, right? 10% is enough that we track where that goes and our hearts actually go with that. We notice and go, oh man, that hurt. I'm investing that in this church. I want to know what that church is doing, or I'm investing that in this missionary over here. I want to know what they're doing. And our hearts and our minds start going that way because Jesus said, hey, man, where your treasure is there, your heart will be also. Now, for some of you guys, you might be in here and thinking, okay, I knew it. Here it comes, right? They're asking for money, right? They're going to bust out the collection plates right now. Listen, that's not what we're going to do. Okay, if you feel like there's another organization in the world that would give, that would steward your money better for the things of God, please give it to them. Right? If you think there's a better organization than us to give your money to, please, please do that. We don't want your money, okay? Just don't use the whole I don't trust the church thing as a reason to be greedy, okay? Just take that off the table right now. Give a significant portion of your money somewhere. Get it out the door, right? Find an organization you trust and give your money there. Right, others of you, you know, you might be one of those people that you want to know exactly where your money goes, right? So if you give, you know, in the general tithes or whatever, and you're just like, okay, I don't know if that goes to put on the lights or to pay the pastors or where that goes. I want to know where my money goes. That's fine. Can I encourage you? Would you like support an intern? We've got Porter, who's on the piano today, David, who's running our high school ministry. Both those guys have said, hey, I'm going to take a step of faith, and I'm going to raise my financial support. I'm going to trust that the people of God would help us and provide for us and raise our salaries. And so, man, if you see the kingdom work that these guys are doing, and you're like, I want to invest in that, I want to get behind that, would you consider supporting them? Would you get behind them and say, I'm going to put my dollars behind that kingdom work, and so I can be a part of that? And City Light, I want to end with this. You know, for so many of you guys, God has gotten a hold of your heart, right? And your wallets absolutely reflect that. You guys, I am not lying when I say you guys are an incredibly generous church, right? We're doing fine. The lights are going to stay on. Like, this is awesome. Like, you guys are incredibly generous. And I even think back to, like, December when we were trying to raise, like, an additional $40,000 for missions and all that stuff. And I think about a family that came up to me and said, hey, we are so invested. We love what God is doing here. We want to be the first person. We want to give $10,000. And I was like, no way. Dude, that's awesome, right? And then there was this other family, like last year, that came up to us and said, hey, we're so invested. We love what Jesus is doing here. Like, we think this church is awesome. We want to give you some money to make this church a little less ghetto, okay? And so we want to put 10, 15 grand into the courtyard so that we can have a nice place to pray and sing songs to Christ. I was like, no way, man, that's awesome. It's just so cool. It's so fun seeing stories of people who said, yeah, Jesus, you can have my wallet. And because of that, like, my heart's there too. It's so much easier to trust God with our hearts when we trust him with our money. It's like, dude, it's easy. I can give you anything if I can give you this. And so, as this is, we are a part of, I'm a part of, I get to lead a very generous church. You guys are incredible. And all of that is a testimony to what God has already done in your lives and how your treasure is not here on earth, but it's in heaven. And so, see, like, I'm going to leave you with this, right? I'm going to get my little cord here again. And so, now, again, we've got a few short years here on this earth, you know, 40, 50, 60. I mean, some of us, we don't have that. We don't know. And so I want you to imagine with me, you get to the end of this life, and then you fall off, right? You get to enter into eternity, right? Like, this life is done, and you get to enter into eternity, and you get to see Jesus face to face, right? And the first thing he says to you is, well done, good and faithful servant. You spent your life investing in, pouring yourself out for my kingdom. You didn't spend your life trying to build your own. You wanted to invest in mine. And because of that, man, for the rest of eternity, you're going to get to enjoy me. You're going to get to enjoy. You're going to get to see the fruit of your time there on earth. Man, what you did mattered. I saw that. How you invested, how you shared, how you gave, how you prayed, how you fasted, how you worked for the things of God. I saw that. Now come enter into your master's joy. Right, and we get to, that doesn't go away. That's forever. That's forever that we get to be a part of the kingdom of heaven. And so would you spend your life, would you spend this little silver part investing in a kingdom that won't fade away, that won't be gone, that lasts forever? Would you store up your treasure, not where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break and steal, would you store up your treasures in heaven so you get to enjoy Jesus for eternity?